I think that's a good prayer this year, 2016. I wouldn't complain. I wouldn't complain. No matter what you're going through, because you know that God's got you. Amen? And if he can take you to it, he can bring you through it. Come on, say amen. Would you stand with me as you take the word of God in your hands? And we want to read together from the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Man, this is awesome. Y'all look so good out there this morning. I just want to challenge us. As a matter of fact, just kind of look at the person. Just look around. Just kind of look around. Just look around. The person sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you. And can you just make up your mind that in this year, 2016, I want to encourage the people around me. Amen? So that at the end of this year, we're all here and we've got some more with us. Amen? Matthew chapter 4, and beginning at verse 1, I will read in your hearing. The word of God says, then, somebody says then, was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, somebody say again. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and said unto him, all these things will I give to you if you will do one thing, fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. Then the devil leaves him and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. A subject for meditation today, the value of preparation. The value of preparation. Pray with me. God, we thank you for all that you've already done. Now we pray, God, that you will speak to each of us individually and speak to us collectively that word which you need us to hear today in Jesus' name. Let all of God's people say, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm just going to just let the Lord do what he needs to do today. Is that all right? We talk about preparation, the value. Somebody said that to fail to prepare is to prepare to fail. If there's one thing that can make the difference between success and failure, it is preparation. Now, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, preparation is the action or process of making something ready for use or service, or of getting ready for some occasion, test, or duty. Preparation is about getting ready for some test, some trial, some duty that is yet in the future. January the 15th, 2009, Captain Chesley Sullenberger successfully landed a U.S. Airways jet on the Hudson River after losing both engines to a flock of geese just a few minutes after takeoff. Captain Sully, as he has become affectionately known, wrote in his memoir, Highest Duty, that he does not think of himself as a hero, but that what he did to land that plane on that cold, wintry day on the Hudson River to save 155 lives was simply the result of lifelong preparation and hundreds of hours of rehearsing for emergency situations. The difference between success and failure often lies in the preparation or the lack thereof. The outcome, the success of every test, every trial, every difficulty that we go through in life is directly related to the preparation or lack thereof that you and I had to face that trial. Many people fail right here because they simply do not value the time that is needed to prepare. Abraham Lincoln is credited with the saying, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first hour sharpening the axe." Abraham Lincoln understood the value of preparation. Preparation is key. You might not be called upon today to save hundreds of lives, but the need for preparation is just as great. It doesn't matter whether you're planting a garden. Several years ago, I did a course in gardening to become certified as a master gardener. I've come to realize that the trick is not about having some green thumb, but it is knowing about preparation. Amen? There's some things you got to do. You got to choose the location where you're going to plant. You got to make sure that you have adequate water and sunlight. And then before you put the seed in the ground, you got to prepare the soil. Are y'all with me today? You got to create the conditions for an abundant harvest. If you're going to sing and be a blessing to others, you got to rehearse before you sing. Come on, say amen. If you're going to cook and have folk enjoy a savory meal, you've got to get the recipe together. You've got to prepare. Do I have a witness in this place today? If you're going to get married and stay married and happily married to one and the same person, you need to get some marriage counseling. Somebody ought to say amen today. Every day before I leave the house, there's some habits I have developed. You know, I like to check the weather for that day to make sure that I am properly dressed. Are y'all with me today? I make sure I've tied my shoelaces, I've brushed my teeth, put on a little underarm deodorant, I comb my hair or brush my hair what I don't have. Come on, say amen out there. I make sure I've charged up my cell phone and that I have it with me. There are times I've had to drive back and get, what would we do? What did we do without the cell phone? It's all in the preparation. You don't want to face the world unprepared, looking like you just came out of a wash-dry bundle or like you don't have it together. Come on, say amen. Your preparation adds confidence and enables you to maneuver successfully through the challenges that you're going to face. This year, you and I are going to face challenges. The question is not if, the question is when. You come to church, you're going to face challenges. Are y'all with me today? You step out of church, you're going to face challenges. They're coming. The question is, are you and I prepared to meet them? You say, well, Pastor, first of all, I don't know what is coming, so how can I be prepared? Well, let me address the first assumption today, you not knowing what is coming. Let me suggest to you, child of God, that the devil does not have any new tricks to play on you this year, 2016. Oh, we give the devil too much credit. He's going to use the same old bag of tricks that he used on you in 2015 and 2014 and all the way back as far as you can remember. He's got the same old tricks. Paul says that we're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's up to. See, there are three ways. How many ways? The devil can get you. Three ways. Aim but three. Now, he can put them in different combinations, but it's only three. And they're found in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. Write the passage down. 1 John 2 and verse 16. If you got it, you can put it up on the screen. John tells us the three forms of temptations. The first is the lust of the flesh. Do what, everybody? I'm doing a little teaching this morning. Is that all right? The lust of the what, everybody? Flesh. You can talk back to me. The second is the lust of the eyes. The lust of what, everybody? The eyes. And the third is the pride of life. The pride of what, everybody? Life. Those are the three temptations. Every temptation, every test, every trial that you and I will face, it will come in one of these forms. It's going to appeal either to your flesh, that is the physical urges that we have, your eyes, which is the gateway to your mind, or your pride, which is your emotions, your feelings, or all three at the same time. It's not new. The devil may mix them up a little bit, but he has to appeal to one of these three things in order to get you. And your ability to pass the test, young person, your ability to pass the test, older person, is in your preparation. Jesus faced the same temptations before he began his ministry. The Bible says that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, that is to be tested, to be tried for 40 days. Understand, church, that this is all about preparations. About what, everybody? Now, what clues us into this fact that it's about preparation is the time frame. The Bible says 40 days. Now, numbers in the Bible have different significance. For example, the number 7 is a number that represents perfection and completion. It's the most frequently occurring number in the Bible. And that's why the Bible tells us that in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 3, that in 7 days, the Lord created the heavens and earth and rested on the 7th day. Come on, say amen. Number 7 represents perfection and completion. The number 40 is also a very important number in the Word of God, and it signifies preparation. It signifies what, everybody? Preparation. It signifies a period of testing, a period of trial before the main event. So Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness before God considered him ready to go back and deliver his people. The children of Israel spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness before they were permitted to enter Canaan. 40 represents perfection. And now we see the Son of God spending 40 days in a wilderness, just like Moses, just like the children of Israel. And if they all had to do that, so will you and I. Come on, say amen. The Bible says that he was fasting. And after 40 days, you can just imagine. You know, most of us, if we miss a meal for 2 or 3 days, we're ready to keel over and die. Somebody say amen out there. Imagine Jesus has not had anything to eat, not a cracker, not a piece of candy, nothing for 40 long days. And now he is famished, he is hungry, he is emaciated, he is weak physically. And the devil comes to him, and what's the very first temptation that he comes to Jesus with? It's with the flesh. It's with food. Jesus, he pointed to some stones that looked just like his mama's hot buns, like his mama's bread. And he says, Jesus, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, you got to watch this temptation. I don't have the time to go through each of them in great detail this morning because I'm trying to get somewhere this morning. But the first thing the devil says to Jesus is so critical. He says, if you be the Son of God. Now, if you go back just a verse earlier, in chapter 3 and verse 17, Jesus is being baptized. And when he's baptized and he goes down and he comes up, the heavens open up and the folk hear a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And now the devil comes and he says, Jesus, if you be the Son of God. God has already declared it. This is my Son. But here comes Satan saying, if you be the Son of God. How quickly, when we've heard a word from God, the devil comes to snatch it right out of our hearts. We leave the house of God, and we've been filled with the Spirit. We've received the word from the Lord. Watch out! The devil will come to snatch that word from you. and put doubt in your heart. Jesus, if you be the Son of God, why has your Father allowed you to go through? Why are you going through this mess? Why are you looking so weak, emaciated, and famished? If you are indeed the Son of God, you deserve better than this. You're entitled to better than this. He comes to us in the same way. And he says, you know, you're a child of God. You deserve better. You're entitled to more. And she ain't treating you right. You know you can get some from that sister whose house you drive by on your way home. You're entitled to better. He's appealing to the flesh. Oh, man, you can take care of your own needs. You don't have to hurt nobody. And she ain't going to talk back to you. And or sister, he ain't going to mistreat you. You can get all the excitement you need. All you got to do is hit a button. Just click a button and you can get all the fun and all the excitement and all the gratification that you want on the internet, on the web. The fact is that you do deserve better, child of God, but it needs to be better in accordance with the Word of God. Because if it's outside of the Word of God, it will not better your situation. It will not better your life. It'll only make it worse. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You and I need to get in the Word. Come on, say amen. Well, Jesus wins round one. The devil comes to him. He says, if you be, again, the Son of God, if you really are his, you deserve better. You deserve better. Why don't you jump from this pinnacle? And you know what the Word of God says, Jesus, you quoted the Word to me, so now I'm going to quote you one. Your Word says that the angels will come and they'll pick you up and they'll keep you safe, Jesus. The devil will quote, how many of you know the devil will quote the Word to us? How many of you know that the devil will quote the Bible? You better get in your Word and study your Word and know what your Word says. Come on, say amen. You better study for yourself. And here now he's appealing to Jesus' pride of life. He's appealing to him emotionally. Okay, Jesus, you won the first round. You got me. But Jesus, you know, your Father can take care of you. Why isn't he here with you? And he quotes Psalms 91, verses 11 and 12. Only he leaves out a portion of the scripture to keep you in all of your ways. See, the devil will misquote the scripture to confuse us and get us doing stuff that we should not be doing. Is anybody listening to me today? He will get you so full of pride, you don't want to listen to anybody else. You believe that you're right even when others point out to you from the Word of God that you're not right. It's called pride of opinion. Some of us think so highly of ourselves, nobody can tell us anything. And you know what they say, church? Pride goeth what? Before a fall. And finally, there's the lust of the eyes. See, the devil will put stuff before you to dazzle your senses, young folk. He will mess with your mind. He will flash some cash or some cars in your face and tell you that you deserve all of this and more, and it doesn't matter how you get it. And so the devil comes to Jesus and he says, look, man, I'm gonna show you all the glories of the world. All you gotta do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, you should worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. There's nothing new under the sun, church. Jesus faced it all and he overcame it, and so must you and I. Come on, say amen. The question is this morning, why did Jesus go through all of this? Why was all of this necessary before he began his ministry? Because it was all about preparation. The first reason why Jesus needed to go through this was to prove himself worthy to be our Savior. To prove himself worthy, Elder Scott, to be our Savior. Hebrews 5 and verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned
yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. There's some lessons that even Jesus Christ could not skip over. In order to help us, in order to be able to sympathize with us, he had to walk the same ground that we have to walk over. One of the purposes of preparation is for us to see whether or not we are ready for the undertaking that we're desiring to do. Are y'all with me today? During the preparation time, potential problems and underlying issues may be uncovered and can be addressed. If you're getting ready to get married, you need to spend some time in counseling. Because it is during the time of counseling that issues can surface and you can deal with them. It is during that time that you know whether or not you're really ready to get married for the rest of your life to this special somebody. Come on, say amen. I've had times of counseling with people, and sometimes in the middle of the counseling, they said, "Pastor, we don't need to get married." Now, as a counselor, I will never say to a couple, "You shouldn't get married." Even though I may know these two folk are not going to make it. I will never say to them, "You shouldn't get married." But I will guide them in such a way that they may come to that conclusion on their own if that is something that they need to realize. And they'll make up their minds and say, "Pastor, we don't need to do this thing." And I'll say, "Well, let the Lord lead you. I believe you might be making the right decision." Come on, say amen. But that period of preparation allows you to see those issues and to address them. Secondly, preparation empowers us and strengthens us for mission. Amen? It was during those 40 days that Jesus' mind, body, and spirit were being shaped and strengthened so he could withstand Satan's attacks. It's always a big mistake, church, to jump into ministry or into any spiritual activity before you've had a chance to be alone with God. You see, when you do that and you start something, you start your day, you start your ministry, you start a project, you start a business, you start anything, and God is not in it, you end up in trouble. Come on, say amen. You end up in trouble. Satan has favorite times when he attacks the people of God. And those favorite times are usually right before or after a mountaintop experience. Watch out. When you've had a hard time with God, here comes the devil. When you're getting ready to do something new for the Lord, here comes the devil. When you're physically, mentally, spiritually, or emotionally weak, here comes the devil. Nothing new under the sun. Just like he came at Jesus, so he comes after the child of God. But I want to let you know today that our power, our strength comes from our time in communion with Jesus. I want to let you know today that our strength, our power comes from our times in communion with Jesus. It amazes me that so many Christians, when they get attacked by the devil, we act surprised. And we say, "Why me, Lord?" What we're really saying is, "I don't deserve this." My answer is, why not you? Would you rather that God kick you to the curb and care nothing for you? Would you prefer that God put you on a list that says no potential, do not disturb, do not bother him, do not bother her? The fact that God allows trials in your life is because he sees something worthy in you. He sees something that can be developed in you. We learn something valuable today from Jesus' temptations. A lesson so valuable that he had to share it with the disciples. And that is that there hath no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you. He will not allow you to be tempted, Sister Story, above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Can I get a witness out there? If he brings you to it, in other words, he can take you through it. Your means of escape from temptation and through temptation is always, listen to me, always communion with God. If you got that today, you got the message. You've got to get alone with God. You got to spend time in his word. You got to make sure that you're being led by the Spirit of God. Let this mind, Paul says, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you take Christ with you, you're going to pass the test. How much of our ministry and our work today fails because we forego the preparation and plunge right into ministry? How many people tackle positions in the church, in the community, in life, with an insincere heart and no preparation for the work of God? How quickly our days become foiled up because we haven't taken time with the Master. Let me tell you today, days will turn into weeks, and weeks will turn into months, and before you know it, the year has come and the year has gone. Can you imagine, church, how much more growth, how much more experience we as believers in the body of Christ would have if we would allow God to simply shape us and mold us first, not only at the beginning of every year, but at the beginning of every day. If we take the time with Him, there's an old song that we used to sing, "Take time to be holy. Speak off with your Lord." Come on, say amen. When a blacksmith wants to work with a piece of iron, he holds it in the fire to soften it and make it pliable. And that's exactly why God permits trials and difficulties in our lives. That's why God tests our faith. He wants us to become pliable. He wants us to acquire patience. When we're constantly out of the fire of affliction, we become like that piece of metal, stiff and useless. My friends, as the pianist comes to play, you and I can only conquer temptations, tests, and the trials that we're going to face this year in life and in ministry as we spend time with Him daily. How often, everybody? Daily. There's nothing that the devil is more afraid of, child of God, than when we get serious with the Lord. When we get serious enough to really study His Word. It's not enough to sleep with it under your pillow or have it on the coffee table, but you've got to actually get in the Word. There's nothing that the devil fears more than when the child of God gets serious enough to get on his knees and to get on her knees and to actually pray. Not just talk about praying, but actually pray. There's nothing that the devil gets more worried about than when we actually get serious enough and we begin to fast, and we begin to follow through on our commitments to serve, to get involved in ministry. Then he gets really concerned. Because you see, church, it's not you that he's afraid of. What the devil is truly afraid of is the Jesus in you. It's the Jesus in you that gets him worried. It's the Jesus in you that keeps him awake all the time. It's the Jesus in you that scares the living daylights out of the devil. Ellen White says that the weakest saint who is on his or her knees frightens the devil. He trembles, not at the strongest, but at the weakest saint. If you and I just get serious this year, this is just a simple message to remind us of the need to prepare. Each and every day of our lives to set aside time. That before you get up and get into the day, that you just spend some time talking to Jesus. You know, we like to say, oh, it's all about quality time. It doesn't matter how much time you spend with Him. But I'd like to suggest to you that both quantity and quality are important. And that we've got to spend not only quality time with Him, but quantity time. And if you and I put in the quantity time with Jesus, we wouldn't have to be circling back doing the same thing over and over again. We'll be able to do it right the first time. And whereas you spend the quantity time on the front end, you're going to spend less time doing what you need to do on the back end because you've made Him first in your life. And not just first in your life because you say He's first and you come to church every weekend to worship Him, but each and every day. You put Him first. So I'm going to ask for a very simple commitment today. We're beginning a 40 days journey together. There's some of you here who are visiting with us this morning, and you're saying, I need the power of God in my life. I don't want to keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. I want to have some new experiences in my life this year. I want God to do some awesome miracles. The victory that is Jesus is, I want that victory in my life. And I want to let you know something today. You don't have to work for that victory. You don't have to earn that victory. The victory's already yours. You just need to receive it today. When you receive Jesus and you walk with him each and every day, you're walking in his victory. Did y'all hear me? You didn't get that. We call it righteousness by faith. We overcome by faith. Paul says, as you have received him, so walk ye in him. As you have received him, so walk ye in him. Or should we get that thing all mixed up? We say, you know, we believe by faith. We accept Jesus Christ by faith. And now we got to live by obedience. Paul says, as you have received him, so walk ye in him. You don't start by faith and then live by obedience. You start by faith and you live by faith. The just shall live by faith. A lot of us are fighting the wrong fight. The fight we need to be fighting is the fight, the good fight of faith. That's what Paul says. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Our problem is a lot of us are fighting the wrong fight. We're in the wrong place. We need to be fighting not the devil. You'll never win against the devil. You need to be fighting to hold on to Jesus because Jesus has already whooped the devil. That's where our fight is. I want to hold on to Jesus. I want to get to know Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. I want to love Jesus. I want to spend time with Jesus. And when I do that, the devil is no match for me. Somebody ought to say amen out there. Amen. And if that's your desire this year, to really spend time with him at the beginning of each and every day, I'm going to invite you to stand right now in his presence. That's your desire today. And you're saying, I want to get on that 40-day journey. I don't want that opportunity to pass me by where I can get filled up with the power of God and with the Spirit of God and run through the rest of this year from victory on to victory. That's my desire, to commit 40 days to praying and fasting, to really seeking God. It's a very simple message today to prepare. The victory that Jesus won is a victory for all of us. Somebody else here today is saying, you know what? I want to begin a new experience with Jesus Christ today. I've left the church, I've walked away from him, and I want to come back. If that's you today, I want to open up the doors of this church right now for you. You can start the new year off right now. All you need to do is slip out of your seat and just come down front. We're waiting to welcome you home, to welcome you back. Somebody today want to say yes to Jesus Christ, yes to salvation, yes to eternal life. Just slip out of your seat and come. Give me a hand and give Jesus Christ your heart. Somebody want to say yes today, right now. Jesus Christ is calling you. The one who died on the cross just for you. And you're saying yes right now. Church, you're praying. Somebody today want to start out this year right. You say, maybe I want to do some Bible studies. Maybe I want to learn how to walk with him. I want to sit under one of these elders and learn how to be a disciple, how to be a follower of Jesus Christ, how to apply the word of God to my life. How to pray, how to talk to him, how to have a conversation with him. What this thing is all about. This is your moment. And I call you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody's saying yes. You need to come right now. Come right now. God is calling. He's spoken to your heart. His victory is yours. His power is yours. Whatever that temptation is that you're dealing with in your life, whether that temptation is of the flesh, the pride of life, your emotions, or your mind. God is messing with your mind. He's messing with your heart. He's messing with your flesh. God has already secured victory for you. You just need to grab a hold of the one who did it for you and who's willing to do it in you and through you. Somebody want to say yes to Jesus Christ. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. And even while we're praying, you need to come. Come now. Father God, we thank you today for your word. We thank you today for your grace. We thank you today, God, for my sister who's just come even while we're praying, she's coming. And I know, God, that there may be others who want to come. Bring them now in the name of Jesus. God, we're standing today because this is not just a new year, but we want to be new people filled with your Spirit, God, transformed by your grace. We want you to pour into us and through us to touch the lives of those around us. And so, God, today I'm just praying that you have your way. This is a very simple message today, God. But God, I'm just asking that you will do a mighty thing in each of our lives as we commit today to you anew and afresh. God, have your way with each of us. Save us. Save our families. Save our friends. Save our households. God, we don't want to come to the end of this year and any man or woman or boy or girl under the sound of my voice is lost. So God, keep us each and every moment, each and every day, because we cannot keep ourselves. In Jesus' name, let everybody say, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. We're going to hear a word from our elders. Just remember the deacons and our elders. Amen. There's a couple of things